Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're jumping into the Gospel of Mark, chapters 9 and 10, with a fantastic lecture by Dr. Mark Jennings.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, you really gave us a good source with this one. It's packed with great observations.
He's such a good scholar.
Yeah, and we're not just going to, like, cover what Jesus said, but really dig into the why behind it all.
That's what I love about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, like uncover some surprising cultural nuances and challenge some assumptions you might have about these familiar Bible stories, and even see how the disciples themselves sometimes struggled to grasp what Jesus was truly getting at.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how they react to what he's saying and doing.
Right, because you think they'd be on board with everything.
Well, you would think. But they were human, too.
Right, exactly.
So it's not always so easy for them to let go of their preconceived ideas and really embrace what Jesus is teaching.
Yeah, and he jumps right into it. Right off the bat, we've got John witnessing someone successfully casting out demons in Jesus' name. But instead of celebrating, the disciples try to stop him.
Oh, I love that.
Right. It's a real head scratcher.
Yeah. It's like, wait, what? Why are you guys getting upset about this?
I know. It's like, you think they would be excited somebody else is out there doing the work?
Exactly. You would think they would be thrilled.
Spreading the good news.
But instead, they get all territorial.
Yeah. And it shows you just how much they are clinging to their own authority and status.
Mm-hmm. They want to be the only ones with the power to do these things.
Yeah, like they think it's all about them and their position, not about Jesus and the power that comes from him.
Exactly.
That's so interesting.
And this actually connects to another key theme that Dr. Jennings brings up in his lecture, the idea of the little ones.
Yeah, yeah.
This term comes up a lot in these chapters, and it's not about age, like you might think at first.
Oh, I see.
It's about those who were considered low status in society.
Okay.
You know, the marginalized, the ones who were overlooked.
The outcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And Jesus consistently elevates and welcomes these individuals.
Yeah, and he gets so frustrated when the disciples try to push them away.
Well, he does, because he's like, no, these are the people I've come for.
Yeah, it's like he's turning everything upside down.
He is.
Like the world's values.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
He's saying, no, it's not about who's important in the eyes of the world. It's about who's important in the eyes of God.
Exactly.
It really makes you think about, like, who are we prioritizing in our own lives?
Yeah.
Are we clinging to our own social hierarchies and biases? Or are we willing to follow Jesus in embracing those who are different from us?
Right. The people that society might tell us to avoid or ignore.
Yeah. It's a tough question to ask ourselves.
It is.
And Dr. Jennings doesn't let up. He then takes us into a very sticky topic. Divorce.
Oh, yeah.
The Pharisees try to trap Jesus with what seems like a simple question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?
Yeah, it seems like a straightforward question, right? But it's so much more complicated than that.
Well, of course.
And Dr. Jennings points out that the debate at the time wasn't about if divorce was permissible, but when.
Right, right.
It's a really nuanced issue.
It's so interesting, too. He goes back to, like, Old Testament law to give us context, which I really appreciate. Because, you know, sometimes you just got to understand the whole picture.
I agree. Context is everything when it comes to understanding these things.
And things get really wild when he starts talking about this indecency clause in the law that was basically wide open to interpretation.
Oh, man. That's a whole other can of worms.
I know. I was reading that and thinking, wow, people use this clause for all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Jennings even mentions that some people used it to justify divorce over something like bad cooking. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. Really?
I'm not even kidding.
People will use anything to get out of a marriage they don't want to be in.
That's right. It's like using religion as an excuse.
Exactly. And Jesus sees right through that.
Oh, he does.
He calls them out on it. Mm. And he does it so skillfully, you know. He goes back to the very foundation of marriage.
That's right.
Quoting Genesis. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh.
It's such a powerful statement.
Yeah, it is.
Because he's not creating a new rule. He's reaffirming God's original design for marriage.
Exactly.
And this whole exchange highlights a pattern we see throughout Mark where the religious leaders are so focused on their own rules and interpretations that they miss the heart of God's will.
Yeah, they're so caught up in the letter of the law that they forget about the spirit of the law.
Yeah, and it's something we all need to be careful of.
Absolutely.
All right, we've got time for one more story before we wrap up this part of our deep dive.
Okay, let's do it.
So we meet this rich guy who's desperate for eternal life.
Yeah, classic.
He's like, I've kept all the commandments. What else do I need to do?
He thinks he's got it all figured out.
I know. And then Jesus throws him a curveball.
Oh.
Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor.
Whoa.
Yeah, talk about a radical challenge.
I mean, that's not something you hear every day.
Right. And Dr. Jennings points out that it's not just about giving away money.
It's about what that money represents, right?
Exactly. It's about the heart.
Yeah.
This guy's wealth was his idol, you know?
It was his security, his identity.
He was everything to him.
And it was preventing him from truly following Jesus.
And you can tell that this is a really hard concept to grasp.
Yeah.
Because even the disciples are shocked.
I can imagine. They're probably thinking, wait, does that apply to us too?
Right. It forces them and us to ask ourselves, what's our camel and needle situation?
What are we clinging to that might be hindering our relationship with God?
And we're going to dig into that more when we come back.
Okay. I read it.
So we were just talking about that rich young man struggling to let go of his wealth. And the disciples were pretty stunned by Jesus' challenge. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it was a huge reality check for them.
Yeah, and Dr. Jennings really highlighted how this entire passage, from the demon casting to the rich man, it's like a wake-up call for the disciples.
For sure.
And maybe for us, too.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why these stories still resonate so strongly with us today.
Yeah, because we all have our camels, you know?
We do. We all have something we're holding on to too tightly.
Yeah, that we think we can't live without.
Exactly.
And it's like Jesus is drawing this line in the sand, you know?
Yeah.
Showing them, showing us what true discipleship really requires.
And it's not about outward actions or social status or anything like that.
It's about the heart.
Yeah, it's about a complete surrender to God's will.
Okay, so what does that even look like? Like in practice?
Yeah.
You know, it can all feel a bit overwhelming.
Right, especially after that camel and needle image.
It's
like, how do we even begin to let go of those things that we think are so essential to our lives?
Well, and that's where I think Dr. Jennings' observations about Jesus' grace and compassion really shine through. Like, even in the midst of these really challenging teachings,
mm-hmm.
he still takes the time to care for his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when he calls them children?
Yes, I love that part.
It's so tender and like reassuring in a way.
It is.
Because he's using that same term, children, that he used
right.
to describe those who are considered low status.
Right.
But here, it feels so different.
Totally.
It's like he's acknowledging their struggles,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and reminding them that they're still learning,
mm-hmm.
that they don't have to have it all figured out.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of freedom in that for us, too.
Right, because we're so quick to beat ourselves up when we mess up.
Oh, for sure.
Or when we don't understand something.
Or like, I should know better.
Yeah. And it's like Jesus is saying, hey, it's okay. You're still learning. I'm here to guide you.
And he's patient with us, you know?
Yeah.
Like a good teacher, he doesn't expect us to get it all right away.
He meets us where we are.
And gently leads us forward.
And I love how Dr. Jennings points out that this is all happening as Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem.
Oh, yes. That's crucial.
That's where it all comes to a head, right?
Yeah. Jerusalem represents the climax of Jesus' mission, his journey to the cross.
And these teachings on discipleship and divorce and wealth, they're all preparing his followers for what's coming.
For the ultimate sacrifice.
So it's bigger than just following a set of rules.
Oh, so much bigger.
It's about aligning our lives with God's ultimate purpose.
Yeah, his mission of redemption and restoration.
And that purpose, it extends beyond ourselves, you know?
Beyond our own little worlds and our own comfort zones.
It invites us to lay down our own agendas.
Our desires for comfort and security.
And to embrace a life of sacrifice and service.
It's a radical call, but it's also incredibly beautiful.
It is, because it means that even our struggles, those camels we're wrestling with, they can become part of something so much bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely. They can be redeemed and used for good.
Yeah. And Dr. Jennings really emphasizes that it's not about achieving some kind of perfect, effortless discipleship.
No, not at all.
Even the disciples who walked and talked with Jesus every day.
They messed up all the time.
They misunderstood things.
They argued with each other.
They doubted.
They were human.
And that's reassuring for us, right?
It is. It's like, okay, I'm not the only one who struggles with this.
They're not alone in those struggles.
And we don't have to pretend that we have it all figured out.
And I love how Dr. Jennings ties this back to the journey motif. Like, discipleship is a process of continual learning and transformation.
It's about the journey, not the destination.
It's not about arriving. It's about walking a path. And we don't have to walk it alone.
We have each other.
And we have Jesus, who's always walking with us.
Always there to guide us, to pick us up when we fall, to dust us off and set us back on the right path.
And it makes me think about those early Christians walking with Jesus toward Jerusalem.
They had no idea what they were getting into.
They didn't know exactly what lay ahead.
But they chose to follow him anyway.
Because they trusted him.
And that's where the real challenge and the real beauty of discipleship lies.
It's about trusting Jesus enough to let go of our own agendas, our need for control.
And to embrace the adventure of following him, even when the path ahead is uncertain.
It's a powerful message, for sure.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful message. And it's hopeful, too.
Oh, definitely.
Because it means that even our struggles, even those camels we're wrestling with, they can become part of something much bigger than ourselves.
Exactly. They can be redeemed and used for good.
So Dr. Jennings gave us a lot to unpack.
He did. He always does.
What really struck you about these chapters in Mark and his analysis?
You know, for me, it was that reminder that discipleship is not about striving for perfection, but about surrender.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It's about letting go of those things that are holding us back, those camels we talked about.
Right.
And trusting Jesus to lead us into a life of true freedom and purpose.
That's such a good point. It's not about earning our way. It's about allowing ourselves to be transformed by grace.
Exactly. And that transformation might not always be easy or comfortable, but it's always worth it.
Well said. Thanks for diving deep with us into the Gospel of Mark today.
My pleasure.
We hope you've been challenged, encouraged, and maybe even surprised by what we've uncovered together.
It's always an adventure exploring these texts.
And remember, this is just the beginning.
Keep diving in.
Keep exploring. Keep questioning. And keep seeking those aha moments that draw you closer to God.
That's what it's all about.
Until next time, keep diving deep.